Chicago's home for sports. Now, by your side through your smart speaker. Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Did you give up your tickets or are you headed over to the United Center? Let's hear from you. 312-332-3776. I'm Jesse Rogers. He's Mark Zander on this Sunday morning. Game four. Tip off in about an hour.
And were you there the other night when Jesse was there?
And if you were, do you agree with me? Was it the least entertaining sporting event you've ever been to? I'm going to put it right up there. Right up there. I can't even think of another one that was less entertaining equally unentertaining.
Right, I'm trying to think of, which one stands out.
Probably
a
Bears game at some point.
Yeah.
One of these Bears games over the last few years. But even then, you normally get one play. Literally, I can't think of one play other than the opening three, and that's not much of a play. I'm talking about some great defensive stop, an alley-oop, a great sequence. We had none of that if you were a Bulls fan. Plenty if you were a Bucks fan. Here's Grayson Allen, by the way. Paul Sullivan just tweeted this about getting booed at the UC, how it affects him. I don't think it does, because it's almost weird when it doesn't happen. I've played so many games in my career where the boos have been there, where it's kind of a return to normal almost. Okay, so that's not working.
Yeah, no, it's not working at all. And I saw something else where he said, I wouldn't say it doesn't get to me, but I'm used to it. And, I mean, that's what players do. Good players, they rise above, right? They have a job to do no matter what the noise is around them.
Man, he was just, his shot looked so pretty the other night.
We hate him because he plays for the Bucks, but wouldn't we like a guy like that?
Oh, my God, I was about to say that. Same thing. Yeah. Absolutely. What was he, 5 for 7 from three-point land. 5 for 7. 71% there. The Bulls, 26% as a team. Man, he was good the other night. Best player in the court, pound for pound, easily. Lionel Evanston, you're on ESPN 1000. What's happening?
Hey, Lionel.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. I just wanted to say that, you know, I do agree that Zach isn't playing well, but you also got to remember, if Zach weren't who he were, we wouldn't have Ball, we wouldn't have DeRozan, we wouldn't have Vooch. And I also believe that Zach is worth the max, because if you don't give Zach the max, who are you going to give the max to? Also, the biggest thing is the Bulls are playing with house money right now. No one in their right mind thought that the Bulls would be this good. I did think they were going to be better than people were saying they were going to be this year. So I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised at the blowback that they're getting when we didn't expect them to even be here.
I guess so, Lionel. He brings up some good points.
Yeah, and
he does.
I get that. We didn't, but you're seeing them play. You can't say, well, yeah, they're going to lose, and we're just glad they're there.
Right.
I mean, they've reached
like I
this
said,
point.
People now pay we have good to money root, to go watch
now
them
we
play.
We have to root them onto the. Yeah. Now, that's the consolation prize, and I get that.
And remember,
if they get dumped out of the series.
They mostly beat up on crap teams all year. Never a good team. Never a good team.
Right.
So, great. They can beat, take your pick, the Magic.
Right.
Big deal. So I get it. I get it. No one expected them to be here, blah, blah, blah.
But that's the consolation prize, and the series is still alive, and we have to play better than we did the other night. And to get blown out by 30, that's not an excuse to say, you know what, hey, we're just glad they're playing in the playoffs.
I agree with you. Now, he brings up good points about Zach LaVine. I will say my criticism is in a vacuum. He's right. I don't know what the other options are. I don't cover the Bulls NBA every day. I'm just saying, in a vacuum, if it was my money, I would not want to give him max. If I was running the team, I would look elsewhere. But if you're telling me elsewhere is worse, then that's a different story.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes. And those are considerations that have to be made. But look, we're talking about a lot of money for a guy who has just not performed the way we needed him to. Now I know the injury, but it is what it is. Yeah, you know what? How do you do that? How do you make sense of it?
All right, which of my son's nicknames, I mean, these aren't just his, but DeFrozen, Levingered, Vuchescared, Caruso-so, I know minutes. Which one do you like the most? 312-332-3776 is the number if you want to jump on. Which one do you like?
Oh, Levingered.
Levingered. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
See how I can blame my son? So if
I run into
any Bulls players over there with my press pass, they won't rip it off my neck. It's not me. My son said it. And he said it out of love because he's a diehard fan. I do like that. I like I Know Minutes as well. This guy was like a burst of energy during the regular season.
Well, that's
I know his shot's not always great, but give you know what comes first, the shot or the confidence? You know what I mean? It's like
exactly
now
right.
you've and taken his confidence
right.
away.
And that's why I asked Paul, what's the reason, what's going to get him out on the floor? And it's probably Donovan. Now, somebody, one of the callers, we've talked to so many, if you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. But, you know, people are starting to already kind of come down on Billy Donovan. I'm not ready to do that just yet.
No, I let's see this adjustment, because if he watches that tape offensively and there isn't some adjustment, hey, take that mid-range jumper, don't make the extra
right.
pass,
right.
or let's make sure the three-point shot is an open look, not a contested one, or you know, if they don't do something different offensively, that's where I'd be critical. But I can't be critical of the roster when it comes to Donovan. I can't be critical that much of the rotation other than maybe Io. I mean, it's not his fault they have Tristan Thompson. I mean, obviously, but there's only so many bodies you can.
There's only
what
you can do. And look, we don't have Lonzo Ball, who is a big part of the early season success.
They're without Middleton. Bulls are without Ball. You know, what does that mean?
Yeah, but them being without Middleton is a lot less of a challenge than us being without Ball.
I guess so, but. Like I said, when you read the coverage on Friday, Thursday and Friday, oh, my God. It's like they're Bulls missing Jordan back in the heyday, Chris Middleton being out. I know he's good, but this happens all the time. Other players step up. Now, you lose Giannis, that's irreplaceable. That's, my point. I felt like a lot of the coverage was Middleton was irreplaceable.
They were treating it like a Giannis, like as if they lost Giannis.
Like it was someone that was irreplaceable. Let's go to Jeff in the South Loop. You're on ESPN 1000, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys, longtime Bulls fan. I was disappointed, shocked with the play the other day. I was courtside, $6,000 out the window for those seats.
Ooh. Seriously?
Yeah. So, like, floor court seats were going for $6,000 to $8,000.
Yeah, I saw Eddie Jackson or someone had floor side, but not me. Anyway, Jeff, was it the least entertaining game you've ever been to?
Yeah, it really was, guys. You know, we were the city was all hyped up about this, and we actually should have been up two games, but no one on the team attacked the basket. I didn't understand it. I was confused, and a lot of fans were disappointed and left early. And yeah, man, I don't know. I have no idea anymore with this team.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, thanks. I saw the same thing. Nobody attacking. A few three-point shots that you know went in didn't really lead to much else out there.
And
it's not like Vooch built on those early threes, really.
Right, right. And what's made me nuts all season is he does not use his size.
He's
a bit reluctant.
Yeah, that's kind of his game out by the three-point line.
Right, right.
But
well, that's great if you can pop him like Curry.
It was just weird. You know, I was 100 level. I'm watching down low. It's like. They'd get the ball in the corner. Like, Zach would get the ball in the corner, make a move to the basket, and then dish
and
out.
Kick it out. Yep.
And kick it out. They're not a good three-point shooting team. So either he's too injured to go high up to the basket, or how about dishing off down low?
Yep.
Like, feeding it to someone, you know, driving the
and you're
lane.
Right. And take the foul if you need to take the
or
foul.
Or take the foul. It was just like, and that was like.
They were playing a peripheral game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would get past the initial defender. And then still pass, you know, dish it out, kick it back out. It was just weird. Let's go to Matt. You're on ESPN 1000. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, I hear callers saying that we didn't expect the Bulls to be here. I mean, they're a sixth seed, you know, I mean, so they didn't make the playoffs with a rage. They were the number one seed, you know, midway through the season. So I did expect them to be here. They had a chance to get to the playoffs last year, and they lost to, like, Cleveland along the way and other teams that were beatable. And so. I totally expected them to be here and actually have a higher seed, be in the top four at least. And I just don't think LaVine's game doesn't bring it out. If you don't play D, especially when it comes playoff time, you're not going anywhere. And Milwaukee shows that well, you know, Boston does is also. So you got to play the team. You got to be a leader. And I clearly think DeRozan is a much better leader than LaVine. And, you know, I thought his contract was a lot for DeRozan, but I totally see it now.
Right.
And LaVine, I don't see him worth $40 million a year. I don't even see him worth $35 million a year. I know the game is different. The numbers are different now, but still, I would not build around him. And why didn't Minnesota give him up? Why did they give him up? You know, with two other guys, pretty much, you know, if he were such a, you know, a superstar. I mean, it was a big question, a huge question. So I don't want to build around him, and I hope they don't.
Good call, Matt.
Yeah, thanks.
I like that call. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Brandon in Bellwood. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brandon, what's happening?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, here's what I'll do. Confirmation was when DeRozan came over and took your team. When DeRozan took your team, you're not a Mac guy. When DeRozan takes all the game-winning shots in the final seconds, it's not your team. You are not a Mac guy. Now, what I do is I trust this organization for its leadership in the office. I trust these guys over Pax and Gar. So I trust them to make the right move. I'll do a sign and trade. That's what I'll do. I'll pick the pockets of a team like Sacramento that's tired of losing and not make. I think I could pick their pocket, and I could get 2 for 1. With his contract, I could get 2 players back. That's what I'll do. Or I'll do Detroit. You got to do one of these teams that's tired of being in the dumpster. They'll fall for it. I definitely do a sign and trade because, first of all, his knees, that's an ongoing problem for the next coming years. I don't want to have to pay him and Alonzo knees. That's 2 bad knees in the star lineup. That's too many games will be missed, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to guys that don't think he should get the max either, so we're with you.
I like the idea of sign and trade and try to – look, if anybody can pull out some – I love what AK and the front office has done.
Yeah, they've done well. Yeah. Hey, as far
and
as
not
that,
everything is going to be a home run.
Right, and as far as that, you know, we didn't expect them to be here. Well, I don't know, the sixth seed, if you think about it, I mean, they picked up Lonzo Ball. Granted, he's not there now, but just go back to the beginning of the year – picked up Lonzo Ball. They pick up DeRozan, who people weren't sure, but ends up having almost an MVP caliber year. Like, why didn't you think they were at least a lower seed in the East? Now, in terms of beating the Bucks, I get nobody thought that.
Right.
But I don't think you'd be shocked that they're right here.
Early in the season, you know, we had a
Schedule also helped.
Yeah, well, it did. If you look deeper into it, it's like, okay, they'll make the playoffs, but how deep will they go? And that's what we're looking at now.
Tip off in an hour, 312-332-3776. If you're stuck in traffic heading into the parking lots, give us a ring. Sound off on the Bulls-Bucks game 4. I know we sound like it's doom and gloom, but after that game 3, it's hard to come out of it.
How could you not?
It's hard. I have PTSD. Yeah. It's hard. Right. I'm still rattled by that
game. Can't celebrate game 2 anymore.
No. I don't even know how they won that. We're back in a moment on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Game 4, Bulls and Bucks coming up at the United Center. We're talking to you before they tip off. It's Adam in Homewood. You're on ESPN 1000. Adam, what's up?
What's up, Adam?
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Good.
So I just think that Zach LaVine, we're just ragging on him a little bit too much. I mean, with what he's done, and he's clearly playing through injury right now, but what he did last year alone, I mean, he showed that he could carry the team through large stretches. I mean, after we got Vucevic, he was carrying us almost into the play-in game, and it wasn't until he went out into health and safety protocols that we weren't able to make it. I mean, he's a clear difference maker, and much like Baker Mayfield in Cleveland when he was playing through injury, how the fan base turned on him, even though he wasn't yet 100%, and now look where he's at. I mean, obviously it's peaches and oranges, I mean, apples and oranges, rather, but I think that Zach LaVine is a great player.
Okay, so here's the thing, and this reminds me a little bit of maybe even the Chris Bryant criticism. Like, that caller's right. I mean, he is a very good player.
Yep, and he did what he did last year, yes, but we need him now.
And Chris Bryant was a very good to great player the whole time. Now, I never agreed with all the criticism that way, but the point is, you better state that first. Like, these are great players we're talking about. We're just talking about how much you want to invest in them.
Right.
Like, if you want to pay him the minimum, I'll take Zach LaVine every day of the week. But there's a payroll aspect involved in all this.
And not only, Jess, but, like, are we going to look at what he did a couple years ago and assess the value? Or are we looking at what's happening now? Now, I know he has injury, but we can't pretend to believe that we think the injury is just going to be gone and not affect him. That's part of the problem of assessing his worth.
I didn't love him when he was healthy. I understand what he can do. I agree with that. But this is basically building your team around him in a lot of ways if you go Supermax. Let's go to Mike in Arlington Heights. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how you doing? That a caller before mentioned, you know, why did Minnesota give up Zach LaVine? Mm-hmm. So he was coming off of an ACL injury. But number one, they got Jimmy Butler for him. That's why.
Yeah, I guess the caller's kind of saying it like Jay Cutler. Like, didn't it give you pause when the Broncos gave up Jay Cutler if he's a franchise quarterback? If Zach is a franchise player, should it give you pause? But you're right, they got Butler back. So it was a pretty big even trade in that respect. Name, big name for big name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, wasn't he was coming off an ACL injury, yeah. So it was questionable if he was going to even play again or how healthy he would be. So I think, yeah, I'm not a huge Bulls fan, but I'll shut up, and you guys have a great show. I love it. Thank you.
Appreciate that. 312-332-3776 is the number. Boston on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Boston.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Real quick, I've been watching sports for a while, especially Chicago sports, Bulls, Bears, Sox, Cubs. I'm only 46. To make my point real smooth, man, what happened to the players that were, I would say, humbled by just being able to do something that we all would do, you know, that we would do for free, recreational, and get paid for it? And what I mean, guys, is that even if Zach, to me, is not a max player, but what can you not obtain if they gave you $160 million compared to $200 million? I just think that guys like Tim Duncan, who took a pay cut to sacrifice to get other pieces for San Antonio to be so dominant and winning championships and so forth, I miss those type of player guys. It's not about the money per se. It's about the love of the sport and trying to build. But my next point is, if it was me and I was the Bulls organization, I would do a sign and trade. I would sign Zach LaVine. I would trade Zach. I would add Vucevic, and I would add Kobe White. And I would trade him to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, Westbrook, and Kendrick Nunn. I know it sounds far-fetched, but you get, you know, I think the salaries will match up most definitely. And I think Westbrook playing for Billy Donovan, you know, he knows what it takes, because the Bulls, to me, they lack an aggressive player. It's okay to be nice. It's fine to be nice, but at some point, you have to be aggressive, and I just think their team doesn't have that. Bobby Portis is aggressive. Why does it seem like guys who the Bulls have drafted end up going somewhere else and they become much better players? So you guys tell me, is it player development issues with some players, or you guys tell me what you think?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Yeah, Mark, I'll let you do it.
Well, look, the player development issue, we can't make that call on Donovan yet. He's not been there long
enough.
Exactly,
right.
But before that, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, would the Lakers take that trade? I mean,
They probably would.
Yeah, they may.
They probably would.
I do.
Can you throw LeBron in? Then I'm in.
I do trust AK. I think he's going to, he's going to do what's right. We just don't know what that is. And we're assessing LaVine's talent right now on what we're seeing from him right now. That's the point.
This is the long play for AK. I mean, it's, and Donovan, I'm sure. This is just the first year of a long plan that he has, long-term plan. Does it include Zach LaVine? I don't know. We're going to find out soon. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Jeff is in his car on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeff?
Hey there, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, so I was just going to comment about the ticket prices earlier. So I got my ticket for $80 after they got absolutely slapped down their last game. And then I also wanted to comment on more on the coach. Like, I think it's more of a coaching problem. I feel like there's just too much of, like, guys standing still. I think they came out the first two games defensively great, but I think Billy Donovan just relied too much on individual, like, performances. Like, Caruso's played great individual defense. I don't think they've played good team defense. And then offensively, I don't think they've played a good team offensive game either. It's been, you know, DeMar just going out and having a really good, you know, game that steals one away.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you just watched it without thinking rosters and makeup and all this stuff, it's hard to disagree with you. The amount of layups the Bucks had last game combined with the in execution on offense, I think you bring up some good points, Jeff.
Yeah, and that's where if I'm Billy Donovan, like, I would be, like, watching the game is, like, I would want to scream at these players right now being, like, get off the three-point line. Like, yeah. Cut. Like, get some movement going. So, I don't know. And if you can tell, like, you see, like, young coaches like Brad Stevens out there for Boston who has their team putting on a defensive clinic right now against Kevin Durant, who's one of the best offensive players in the league right now, and he can't do anything right now just because they committed to playing really good team defense against them. Like,
No doubt. And you have a little advantage with Middleton out, and you don't guard Grayson Allen or don't guard him enough. And you didn't let Giannis facilitate, but he facilitated. You didn't let him on purpose, but he did it.
Right. It's hard to stop him.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the offensive side, the whole thing I'm playing on the periphery is just, look, we don't have the talent to do it.
I guess not.
We've got to force the issue.
Yeah, they don't have the talent on the outside.
Right.
There's no doubt.
Right.
There's no doubt. 312-332-3776 is the number. And I think that's what I want to see today, just a little bit more flow to the offense. I mean, that's not a lot to ask for after you score 81 points, where there's some mid-range jumpers that go down or some crashing the boards, flying down the middle of the lane, dishing. I know Giannis is there, but man, you got to switch something up.
But that game you were
at. And using the energy from the crowd that you had at the beginning on Friday.
Right. The game that you were at, it must have been, as you've said, very frustrating not see them penetrate, just kind of be very. Not so interactive, like grabbing boards and being aggressive. Against this team, there's no way you can, avoid that. You have to, if you're going to win, you've got to get your hands dirty. And it just seems like it's almost like the Vooch thing. It spread
a little bit,
you know,
I suppose a little bit. Did he say he got tickets today for $80?
Yes, because they got slammed. So I guess there's a benefit to getting your ass beat.
Yeah.
You know, for fans, you get a cheaper ticket.
You
because
do.
Somebody's like, yeah, I ain't going.
Curious what the energy will be over there today.
Well, we need it. You know, if you're going, if you're going and you don't see what you like, make some kind of noise. Try to pump up these players because they're going to need the crowd behind them.
Yeah, there were some boos, I think, at the end of the first half. Yeah, I think there were some boos. I know there were boos. I can't remember exactly when. I think it was the end of the first half. I was like, okay, well, that didn't go well.
At what point during the game, Jesse, were you like, should I leave?
Well, definitely beginning of fourth quarter, it started to go through my mind and everyone else's. There were people leaving, not at halftime, but after three. I left about 7 minutes left in the fourth, you know? I mean, technically, you didn't have. Even staying that long was overtime to me. I mean, you really didn't need to. 312-332-3776. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it was over at halftime. But you never know. We saw Minnesota, Memphis, those crazy runs. Where's the Bulls' run? They didn't have one run in that game. Not a run, not a play.
And that's what you were talking about. Aside from Vooch making that three-pointer, nothing to get excited about.
Quickly, Charlie in Crystal Lake. You're on ESPN 1000.
Charlie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, so I just wanted to bring something up. I noticed actually in the last game, it looks like what's happening is when Patrick Williams is on offense, he's just standing in the corner and his guy is so far off of him that he's basically already in the lane. So when Zach or DeMar are getting to the lane, there's already like a third guy there defending him. I'd like to see Pat come up and be the ball to set the screen for one of those guys and free it up a little bit more, because until he starts knocking down some of those threes, they essentially just have another defender that's already there.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point. Or have him crash and LaVine dish to him as Giannis covers the...
He's got that size.
You know what I mean?
You've got to teach him to play that...
Put some pressure on him, definitely.
Some sort of movement, Charlie. Yeah. Whether it be a screen or crashing or something, that's what we didn't see.
Right. Just standing on the outside.
I mean, you have to imagine it's going to be better. It's not like these guys are terrible, you know, tacticians or players or anything. I mean, it's just, it can't be worse, so it has to be better. I mean, Donovan's been around the block, right, a few times. it's got to be better. So the hope is how much better? You know, the hope is, can it be 100% better, or are they just a little bit better and score 95 points?
Right. And going into
this, you got to score 110 against this team.
Well, going into this series, we knew it was going to be tough, but did we know that we would lose by 30 in a game?
Not the game that they were missing Chris Middleton. No one thought that.
Right.
100%.
Let's go to TJ on the south side. TJ, turn down your radio. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, TJ.
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Hey.
Great Sunday. Listen, we got to stop. We got to use some common sense. We got to stop with this, you know, and I've heard this so many times with the Lakers stuff, with the Laker trade. Listen, the Anthony Davis Westbrook thing is a good idea, or would be a good idea, but it's wrong for two reasons. One, number one, Westbrook is a point guard. So you're going to bring Westbrook in for $47 million. So who are you going to play, him or Ball? Because they both play the same position. And Anthony Davis, in 3 years, has even played a full season. So I'm sorry. I don't see it. I can't spend getting rid of money to bring in more bad money. I'm sorry with that. That, to me, does not make any sense in regards to that nature. And regarding the defense with Billy Donovan, didn't he make a point a couple months ago when the Bulls were winning that he did not like, or he saw defensive lapses?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so you're the head coach. So they have injuries throughout the whole year, but they were still winning. They was beating tomato cans and cream puffs, but you have to make those adjustments. You see what's going on. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you see him and they show a sideline picture of him, you know, and he's like chewing gum real hard, like, and it's like it's almost like he reminds me of Dicker. Like, get mad. Like, you got to put some fire on these guys, man. Yeah. Hey, these guys are professional players. They're dope.
You're right, TJ. Yeah.
And they can't take a ribbon, and trust me, in college, they got it worse than that, because I know some coaches, not all, in college used to get in their grill. I mean, then you shouldn't be playing ball if you can't take professional criticism.
All right, thanks for the
call,
TJ. Thanks.
You know, TJ had a point when Donovan, it was a few weeks ago when he was quoted as saying, you know, I saw something in the defense. I warned people. And it's like, wait a minute, you're standing outside now? Like a writer? You're the coach. Yeah. You're telling us you're warning. You better have warned them and made the adjustments. And look, maybe he's basically saying, look, guys, I told you what it's going to take, and you see what you haven't done, and you see the results of that.
Yeah, I think the good news is it can't get worse, so it's going to get better. It should be a closer game, and maybe they do.
But how much better?
Maybe they'll steal one. Another one. There's still one. Maybe they'll steal another one. 312-332-3776, the number. Tip off in about 40 minutes. We're taking your calls if you're headed to the United Center. We'll talk to Len Casper after 12 as the Sox try to salvage, and that's the right word, one game on this horrendous road trip. They lose Eloy Jimenez for 6 to 8 weeks minimum. We'll talk to Len about that after 12 as well. Bulls and Bucks, game 4, coming up after 12. You're listening to ESPN 1000.
It's here, and it's spectacular.
The all-new ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Listen, they do a good job getting back, and I've said this, you know, for them defensively, they're a terrific defensive team, and you know they're good in every area. They rim protect, they get back in transition, and they rebound. But when you have opportunities to get out in transition in broken floor situations, to your point, where the floor is a little bit, even if it's not uneven, but it's cross matched or different matchups are happening or sides of the floor overloaded, you got to be able to attack. And I didn't think we played with enough pace personally.
That's Billy Donovan. That makes a lot of sense. And it kind of goes to what we're talking about here.
Yeah, you said from the beginning of the show, no flow.
Yeah, no flow offensively. That was in the open court, in the half court. When you score 81, there's enough problems to go around. Your inside game was bad. Your outside game was bad. Your mid-range game was nowhere to be found. And that's DeRozan's specialty. He had some chances to move into that 18 to 20 feet, 16 to 20 feet area, and it just never happened.
Yeah, he only had 9 attempts, 4 for 9.
Yeah.
From the fourth.
What was the total, 9 points, or did he have more in the fourth? Because I left in the fourth. He had 9 points for a long time.
Let's see here, 11.
He had 11 points.
Yeah.
DeFrozen.
Yeah.
Terrible. Just terrible. 3-1-2.
And it's really unfair to, you know, lump everything on his back. Well, no, I get what you're saying, but, you know, he's the guy that game two just went crazy.
Yeah.
You cannot win every game like that.
Yeah, you need help.
Yeah, you, you need help from everybody.
312-332-3. But I still expected maybe a 30-point effort out of DeRozan.
Right. No,
because
you're absolutely
right. They do give you that mid-range jumper, and that's his specialty. Let me get the number out. I've tried twice. 312-332-3776. Final thoughts as you head to the United Center regarding Game 4. Any hope at all in this series? I mean, obviously they have to win today. But do you have any hope going into today after what you saw in Game 3? Like I said, I can't even remember how they won. Okay, how they went about winning Game
3. Right, and what's the big, big, obvious adjustment to you? 312-332-3776. Yes, play, you know, sing some shots, play better defense. But specifically, what's the move here? What's the plan? What, in your eyes, being a Bulls fan?
We've got people driving to Wrigley Field as well. Can they put up the three touchdowns and a field goal today? Can they add a field goal to them? Think about all those great Cub teams last decade, and none of them scored 20 runs.
And that hasn't happened for the Cubs since 1901?
Something I heard? And it's the largest shutout victory, for sure.
It's never happened to the Pirates that.
So if you're driving to Wrigley, you have renewed hope. You know how Cub fans are. Couple losses, they get down, and then boom, game like that, we're back in the World Series.
Wait a minute, 21 runs in one game? Boy, today might be tough.
Oh, you know that's what Cub fans are. They're the pessimistic ones. The optimistic ones think the 21 is going to lead to a World Series. There's a lot of those out there. But the normal 40-year Cub fan still has all those years of terrible baseball.
And they throw up their hands, go 21 today. Thanks a lot. Now we're going to lose the next three.
Right. They can't even enjoy that because they know today. I mean, for sure, if this was the Cubs of the last decade, if they had scored 21, the Rizzo Cubs, it would have been one today. This team, they're scrappy. They put the ball in play. Now, they didn't score a lot in the first two games against the Pirates, but they had chances and they just didn't get it done. So we've got people driving to Wrigley, people driving to the United Center, people. I don't want to be too dramatic about it, but if you're a Sox fan, you are drinking heavily at 11:40 this morning.
You might be pre-gaming pretty heavily.
Yeah.
We're not going to see Aloy again. Year number two for 6 to 8 weeks now.
To 8 weeks for Aloy. Yeah, that came out. Could be longer. He's going to be reevaluated some more tomorrow back in Chicago here. They're already without Luis Robert. He should be back. Giolito returns today. They've
Pollock
lost
is in
six
the lineup
in a row.
Today.
Pollock
so
is in the lineup.
You can say we need him to stay on the field.
I said it was the worst week I've ever seen a team experience when you add the injuries and the on the field play.
The errors.
The only thing they didn't do was like blow two saves in the ninth inning. Like, you know what I mean? They lost games with their defense.
Right. But they were not blown like really bad blown
walk-off
saves. Yes.
That would have been the only other thing missing from this terrible, terrible week.
Well,
it was like having a 3-run lead in the ninth and losing the game.
Well, yeah, they didn't have a chance to do that because they played so poorly leading
up
to the ninth.
Yeah. Very well said. You're right. Defense, what a disaster. Didn't really address it in any meaningful way in the offseason. Didn't address their needs from the left-hand side of the batter's box. Didn't get deeper on the pitching staff. Should be still good enough to win when they're healthy, but right now they're not.
Now, you know, we're going to really dig into this with Len right after noon, and the White Sox pregame coverage starts with Connor at 12:30. But it's tough, and I can't wait to talk about Leury.
And having said all that, there's some point where you just can't overcome injuries. You're a top starter's down.
No, you're right.
Two top outfielders
are down.
People have
to step up.
Yeah. Yeah, that
it's
remains
not
to
happening.
Be seen. Yeah,
it's not happening.
Let's go to Essam in Bolingbrook. You're on ESPN 1000, Essam.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, just having the curiosity in my head. When Kevin Durant said yesterday that maybe they're overthinking it, are the Bulls doing the same thing, hesitating on shots, even on defense rotation? Are they overthinking and not just playing in their flow?
Overpassing?
I think on offense, that's a good point, Essam. I do.
And it seems like they're just not moving like they were in the previous game, and they're just stopping and thinking and then thinking again and then throwing the ball.
Yeah. I see that in Zach's game a lot, I feel like. But it seemed like the whole team had that affliction last game. It's like they got past the initial defender, didn't know what to do with the ball.
Right.
Yeah, it seemed like it was contagious. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Yeah.
You got it. Thanks for the call.
Play with some intensity. Be loose. And get the IO a little time, and let's just see what happens.
Yeah, what was the story out of Milwaukee after game two? Giannis implored his teammates, I know it's cliche, to have some fun. Just loosen up and have some fun. So now maybe it's the Bulls' turn.
Yeah.
To just loosen up, have some fun. Don't be afraid to take the shot.
So that's key, too. Too many passes.
Yeah. It was lost
opportunities.
Yeah. And is it because they were worried about driving the lane, or are they being truly unselfish about it? I mean, there's the bad unselfish and there's the good unselfish.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully Billy will point that out, saying, you know, look, unselfish is good, but let's not force this. If you've got a shot, take the shot.
312-332-3776 is the number if you want to jump on. Jesse Rogers, Mark Zander till 12:30 here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
White Sox baseball is coming your way in about 40 minutes. Connor McKnight will have the pregame show. We'll talk to Len Casper live from Minneapolis just after 12 o'clock as they wrap up what could be considered the worst road trip in recent memory by any baseball team.
One we want to forget really, really quick. I've got the lineup for
terrible.
Today.
Go ahead. What's it looking like without Eloy, without Luis?
You know, I'll tell you. Tim Anderson at shortstop, he was suspended. He's appealing it, and we'll see when that comes down and what the result of that. But he's playing today. A.J. Pollock back in the lineup, right field. Yasmani batting third behind the plate. Jose batting cleanup. You got Gavin Sheets at first base. Jose's DH. Andrew Vaughn in left field. Leury Garcia, second base. Adam Haseley, center field. We're down to that point where we're playing somebody who we didn't even know was going to make the opening day roster. Danny Mendick, third base, and Lucas Giolito is pitching. Now, Josh Harrison they said that he could make the lineup today. He's obviously not in the lineup today.
Apparently, to bat third in Tony La Russa's lineup, you have to be hitting 130 or below. I mean, first it was Garcia, now it's Yasmani. And you asked before the break, and let's open it up to callers, 312-332-3776. Who's going to need to step up, the proverbial step up, now that Eloy's out, Luis is hampered a little bit? Who needs to step up? And it doesn't have to be the person replacing Eloy, obviously. It could be anyone. And I just said it. Yasmani Grandel is not on this team for his defense, certainly not anymore. He's DHing as much as he's right. Almost as much as right. He's catching, not quite. But
I will say,
Reese McGuire is getting starts behind the plate.
Right, right.
And he's hitting 128 right now. It's early, but still 186 on base. That's the number because he usually is taking walks.
Yes,
Yasmani is doing nothing at the plate and nothing behind the plate. And we wonder why. You know, someone caller brought up, why did Zach LaVine get traded from Minnesota? What did they see? Why did the Broncos get rid of Jay Cutler?
Right.
I think you can ask that question about a number one catcher, not just the Brewers, the Dodgers.
Yeah, no,
the Brewers.
Right.
How often do number one catchers move around like that? Now he's 33, has had knee problems. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, it's time to step up. You're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, last year we put up.
We can count on the walks last year.
Exactly. Last year, at least, there was something good about his game. Right now, he's not walking.
And I will
he's
say
not
this.
Hitting home runs. And he's not hitting though. Anything.
I will say this, though. Defensively, it looks like he worked on his game offseason because it looks better. Thank God, because last year was horrible. But we could count on the walks, and we can count on the home runs last year when he finally got to that point, and it was not early season. When he got into May and June, he started hitting home runs. But you're right. And okay, so let's go another level deeper or over to another position. Why isn't Adam Engel should be an everyday player in this world of everybody's being injured?
I don't know. Does he have a hammy again? Or
let's hope not. I mean, here's a guy who has been injury prone, but his glove is spectacular, and his bat's come around. Why are we seeing Haseley in?
I didn't think about that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
We don't have an answer unless Tony would come on and tell us. But we're down to that point where we're playing Danny Mendick. He's a spirited guy. Love him, but he's not that everyday guy. But we're there now because we have so many injuries. Harrison's not playing. Leury. Now, here's a guy who's the longest tenured player on the team. Tony loves him. Tony has said he is an everyday player. They didn't exactly say, but he basically said he's an everyday player because he can
without
play all
position,
these different
though,
positions. Not impressed this year. No. Not impressed on either side of the the diamond.
But let's slow down for a second. This happens all the time in April. By June, there's a whole other narrative. By August, there's a whole other narrative, you know, from June. So here's my question to fans. Is this any sort of precursor for the rest? Is this foreshadowing the rest of the year within the division? Because all of a sudden, the division is pretty darn bunched. Did the White Sox just breathe life into the Guardians? Are they breathing life into the Twins, and this is the way it's going to be? Or is this a bump in the road? Sox, we're going to lose some games. This is the time to lose them, right. And they're still going to end up an arm's length away from these other teams. That's my question. Now, if they do that, they're going to have to do it by overcoming injuries, kind of like they did last year.
Right.
The difference is now there's some injuries on the mound and in the position, you know, on the diamond. So that's the difference than last year. You have Lynn down for 2 months.
We can't wait to see Cueto. We're at that point where we can't wait to see Cueto.
You're right about that. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Jordan in Merrillville. You're on ESPN 1000, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, you know what? I called in before the beginning of the year and talked to Carmen in our year group, and I was talking just about this thing, is the fact that Rick Hahn and the White Sox did not shore up what they perceived as a strength. You knew that Robert and Eloy and some of these guys are injury prone, and you didn't really shore up your lineup. Your depth is lacking. So now you have AAA guys who should be down in AAA, going to be filling important roles. You know, you say you want to take that next step or go to the next step for a championship level, but you didn't put your money where your mouth is. I understand they have one of the top payrolls. But, you know, to me, that was the problem. And now you have an issue in your lineup, and you're on a six-game losing streak, and you got AAA guys that's starting in your lineup.
Yeah, but you got have two potential all-stars that are injured. Who are you replacing them? What team has
you don't have
outfielder?
All-stars sitting around.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What are you supposed to do, Jordan?
Well, I understand that. But you knew that those, quote-unquote, potential all-stars, who they're not all-stars yet, potential all-stars keep getting hurt.
You went out and got A.J. Pollock, who had a great year last year. A.J. Right. Pollock's a legit player.
And he gets hurt too.
Yeah, That's the only problem. They just have too many guys with injuries. But I don't know what you're supposed to do when Luis Robert and Eloy go down a second year in a row.
Well, I don't know. To me, they should have did more to shore up the lineup. To me, they did not do enough for that. And you were hoping for great years, or hoping for injury free years, and you didn't insure yourself. To me, that's what they should have did, and they didn't do that.
Well, I would say that criticism applies to the pitching staff. They lost Rodon.
Yep.
Replaced him with a first time starter, a shortened spring training. Lance Lynn's a year older. I think Cease and Giolito are horses, but that's not enough. So I don't think you fortified enough, and I don't think Vince Velasquez is the answer.
No. And Cueto probably isn't either. But they did fortify the bullpen, and when Kelly comes back, I mean, Graveman, took it a little on the chin, but he's been good this year.
No, he's been fine.
And Kelly hopefully is going to pitch the way he's always pitched. So the bullpen's been all right, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Connor Sousa or Tanner Banks or Connor McKnight or any of them.
it's Bennett Sousa.
I'm sorry, did I say that?
Connor Sousa.
Yeah, I meant Connor McKnight's coming up at 12:30. Bennett Sousa's been fine. And Tanner Banks, Jimmy Lambert, I have no problem with those guys filling in. You know, you can't expect the world out of them. It'd be nice if some hotshot AAA guy came up, but they've brought up all their AAA guys over the last year.
Here's who saw the mound yesterday for the White Sox. Velasquez, as we know. It was Sousa, Crick, Severino, and then Liam Hendricks, which was weird. I guess they just want to keep him warm.
Yeah. I think their depth on the mound has been okay. Now it's time for the depth in the outfield, like A.J. Pollock, like Adam Engel, like these other guys to step up and perform.
And the whole Engel thing, that's making me crazy today. He should be on the field unless there's an injury they're not talking
about. And Yasmani Grandal's got to produce. Left-handed bat, a side of the plate they really need production out of. In the middle of the order, he's DHing a lot. He's got to produce. Len Kasper's going to join us. We'll try to find some positives. I know Len will find them for us.
He'll find something.
Entering this series finale, Jesse Rogers, Mark Zander for another half hour here on ESPN 1000.